Good morning. Today is Friday, April the 22nd, 123rd day of the new year. Joining us this morning from REDEC is the executive director, Greg Foster.
Ta-da.
I thought I'd do pregnant pauses there to build
Friday,
the tension.
Yeah, people were
Who is it this month? I don't know. Yeah. Well, you got a little bit of action going on up at the airport.
Yeah.
You got a little bit of action going on at the hospital.
Yeah.
Okay. You got the meeting that you're all fancified for later
Legal
today.
Legal Butters luncheon today.
Yeah. So it seems like your social calendar is pretty well up.
It is. I'm looking forward to a nap tomorrow.
Oh, I thought you were going to say in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, well, or even when I get to work.
Oh, good. Well, yeah, as long as you're out of here, then we won't have that dead air thing.
I see a good couch around this place.
No, just the one that's in my room.
No, thanks. Yeah, no, thanks.
Disappear in that and you never come out. Our quote this morning, let's see if we can find one. Well, eagle. Is an eagle a transferable to Penn Air? I couldn't find anything about William Penn.
Sure. That'll work. There are a lot of eagles in Alaska.
Okay, this is not a complimentary one.
Oh, well.
Okay, this is from Matthew the 24th in the year 28. Wheresoever the carcass is, there will be eagles gathered around.
This is true. The majestic bald eagle is primarily a scavenger. Many people don't know that. But yeah.
Or the turkey is primarily dinner.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Which would be better? So yesterday there was a little bit of a celebration.
Yeah.
Things kind of started rolling.
Right, yeah, yeah.
How come?
How come? Well, the history is really started when the Penn Air was looking at Crescent City, and Emily Jacobs, when she found out that Penn Air was going to bid on the Crescent City service, which is federally subsidized, we're not, but they are. She called them, using that sort of.
No process.
Just picked him up and said, "Hey,
get on the phone.
Here's Arcata," and so she stayed in contact with him quite a bit, they came down and met with her, toured the facility. We went up to their opening in Crescent City.
Now, did you drive there or did you fly there?
We drove up.
Okay.
And unfortunately, their launch up there and their party was at 6 a.m. So we got up really early and drove up there and met with them. They came down here a few more times after that. And then in early February announced that they were going to start the service here on April 21st. So it was... individual initiative, sort of a, hey, this makes, making a business case for them, and doing the sale and completing the close. You know a little bit about that, right? You prospect.
I hope.
Yeah. You prospect, you research, you contact, you sell, you establish a relationship, and you close a deal. And that's exactly what happened here. And they're a great little company. We actually all went out to dinner with the owner and his brother, who the owner is the son of the founder, who started with one plane when he was in like high school. And they lived in a little village down on the Aleutian Islands.
So they speak Alaskan also.
That's what they do. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that when we get back.
It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Greg Foster from REDEC. Greg, you were talking prior to the break. You're kind of giving a little bit of background of Penn Air.
Right.
Family-run airline, is that common?
Not for us. I mean, obviously, the smaller you get, the more closely held you get. So there are a lot of little tiny, you know, private airlines and all this. But Peninsula Air, or Penn Air, you know, was started down on the Aleutian Islands by a kid, basically, you know, when he got his first plane. And it's grown. That was 61 years ago. They're just getting ready to celebrate the anniversary of the first plane. And now the sons have taken over, Danny and Lloyd Siebert. And although the dad, who just celebrated his 80th birthday, still comes into work a few times a week, they said, and make sure everything's going just right.
Just enough to screw things up so the kids can unwind during the rest of the week. Yeah, I know. Anyway, I know that one.
Yeah. So, you know, Danny and Lloyd and you know, the rest of the crew, you know, the team were here for a couple days this week. They came down, well, actually, I guess one day. They came down Wednesday afternoon and then flew out yesterday.
Flew in. But,
yeah. Yes.
Had to get the first plane here somehow. Yeah, huh?
Right. So we all went to dinner down in Old Town and got to get to know each other more. You know, we'd had a lot of conversations. It was the first time we really sat down. And you know, so much about business, as you know, and this is certainly true in the airline business, is about establishing relationship and really understanding each other's needs. And you know,
it's business.
Yeah,
it's just how communication business is, or whatever you want to call it. Why Portland? I mean, I know why I would argue Portland.
Right.
But what do they see? Why Portland?
Well, I think it was a big enough hub but a small enough airport that they could, with their partnership with Alaska, that was a good place for them to go. You know, they started with Crescent City to Portland, and that was the driver. But when we had talked to them early on, they said, you know, we want to do five destinations that feed into Portland to start, you know. And so that's where they are. You know, what's great about the service is that they are a partner with Alaska. So if you go to Alaska's website, you can see Arcata and Eureka. You know, they depends on which way you search it, Eureka, California, or Arcata, California. But that comes up in Alaska. And so then you can buy an Alaska ticket. These flights also have Alaska flight numbers on them. And then go through Portland to wherever Alaska flies out of Portland. And so, you know, not only is it Penn Air, you know, helping us service the Portland market for those that are just going back and forth, but we have got a great now connector through Alaska going to all their destinations.
Has United blinked?
I don't see... I mean, I don't know what blinked means. They've been
reacted.
Yeah.
Adjusted.
No. I mean, you have to understand, it wasn't that many years ago when we were running 2-3 times the passengers through this airport than we are now. Probably about 2 times than where we are now. So there's still a lot of market to be had. And we are running those, you know, good numbers with 3 airlines, at least for 1 year of that period. You know, United has been a very reliable partner to Humboldt County, and people will bag on them, but they're the only airline that have been here consistently since the end of World War II. And so, you know, United is a great partner.
Did they
partner.
Buy Air West?
I have no idea. Hughes?
Yeah,
no, banana. I don't think, I can't remember. That's history.
I found one of the old postcards.
Oh, neat. Yeah.
It's like from the 70s, you know, the big elongated.
Right.
And the plane looked 3 times bigger than what's right. landing there now, right, so right. maybe standards changed a little bit.
Well,
it was very distinctive. And
right,
it was, I remember
they
that.
Would fly a DC-9 in here that was bigger back in the day. Now we fly the 76 seat Embraer regional jet. That's the biggest jet we have coming in now. People don't want an old big jet coming in here. You talk about loud. And the Embraer that the United's flying, and it was great. You know, they have a limited number of those, and they picked the markets to put those in, and we were one of those markets. You know, those are brand new, comfortable planes. I don't know if you've been on one, but boy, I sure loved it.
I'm contemplating next month.
Yeah,
but you know, I got to get to Little Rock, but I can't handle the delay.
Oh well,
so if there's a muck up, then I'm off by a full day.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, well, do I roll the dice or do I not? I mean, the same old thing that you hear from everybody.
Well, and we have a good friend that is in Little Rock Airport. She does their air service development out there. Great.
Oh, good.
Great
so lady. I should leave a little note when I go by?
Yeah, go say hi to TJ when you're there.
Yeah. Greg says you owe me lunch.
Yeah, exactly. They've been doing a great job. They've been adding a lot of service there. She's a real, you know, in this industry, you've got to be, again, you got to be quick acting, customer focused, smart, you know, don't get bogged in process. Don't make excuses. You got to do the job.
And how much does the social media play into that? Or does it?
I don't know. You know, well, we do a lot of social media through Fly Humboldt, which is our Facebook, and then we have a Twitter feed. And I do some advertising through that. And we see a lot of traffic being driven, in particular, this is in the last month or month and a half, it was around Penn Air. We saw a lot of traffic being driven to their website, you know, and one of the things we like to see is when we do the social media, we want to see shares. And so we did a posting on the Penn Air flight, and there were 50 shares, which means people sharing that post on their website, on their Facebook page.
I was thinking market share.
Yeah, no.
I was about to just kind of like fall out of my chair.
Yeah.
That would be chair, not share.
Right.
It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back talking shop this morning with Greg Foster from REDEC. Talk shop presented by REDEC and by CDH Painting.
I think I paid my bill this month.
Yeah, if not, you will before you leave.
Yeah, right. There you go.
Greg, the concept of some of these different things going on is kind of cool, bringing folks in from out of the area, new stuff, that kind of thing. But there's a lot of folks and a lot of things that are in the area that we kind of need to pay attention to also.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, one of the hats you wear, well, actually, it's more of a mask, at St. Joe's.
Right, yeah.
How are they doing?
The hospital itself?
Healthcare in general?
Healthcare in general.
Yeah, we hear Humboldt Open Doors expanding all over the place. Huffman dropped, what, $1 million, $2 million, something like that?
I heard that.
It's like, okay, you know, there's a recognition of a shortfall somewhere.
Right.
And then we see the buildings and we see the folks. What's the state of healthcare in the county?
Well, I'm not a healthcare expert, but I'll tell you what I know, which is actually probably true universally for me. I'm not an expert on anything, but I'll tell you what I think. Right, exactly. I was chair of the St. Joseph Health Foundation for 2 years. I'm still on that board. And so we are the fundraising arm, nonprofit, that goes out and raises funds to invest in equipment and other things at the hospital. And, you know, the question you ask is can be answered different ways depending on what you're looking at. So we have a general and pretty severe issue with lack of healthcare professionals here. And when I say, I mean, it's here and it's everywhere. This is something they're talking about, you know, in communities all over the country. You know, both in specialty lines, you know, your orthopedist, your OBGYN, you know, your cancer docs, but also in family medicine, what we used to call a general practitioner or family medicine. And so, you know, a lot of what we've been talking about and actually the foundation's invested dollars in is helping recruit new doctors or other healthcare professionals to Humboldt County.
But if there's a shortage nationally, I would think that it's more of a systemic thing than it's not a Humboldt County thing. Is it the cost of doctor school? Or nurse school, or whatever school that they have to go to? Is it you know, the Obamacare and the socialized medicine stuff that's going on and the lack of compensation?
You know, I think you can probably find a little bit of everything that's contributing to the issue. One of the issues we have here is that, which is makes us less competitive in some ways, is, you know, we don't have as good a payer mix. We don't
normal language.
Our pay, you know, we have a higher Medi-Cal, you know lower income kind of folks, and so, you know, in a private practice docs, that's very difficult to make a living at all, you know, with the reimbursement rates that come from that. You know, there's also models, you know, in the bigger cities, you can, if you're a doc, you can work basically your shift, your 9 to 5 or your 8 to 5, or, you know, especially when you're coming out of school, you're young, that's a relatively attractive thing. The old days, you know, I grew up in Southern Humboldt, and so we had Dr. Phelps, you know, who not only was the doctor, he built the hospital.
Yeah, he got a hospital named after him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, so in the old day, you know, you'd get house calls and the doctor would be on call, which meant, you know, you might get these calls. And so if it's harder, I've heard it's harder to get the new docs coming out to want to come up here because they may have longer calls. When if they work in a Kaiser or something else like that, you know, it's like, okay, here's your shift and you're done.
So it's less of a calling these days than it is a profession.
No pun intended.
Yeah, no, yeah. I got it. I tried to work it in there smoothly, yeah. But apparently not
yeah.
that smooth.
Yeah, huh? Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. But overall, this is just a general shortage. I know that, you know, part of it is just a demographic shift. In other words, the baby boomers are retiring. So we used to have a lot of people. And you look, you know, the other industry I spend any time in is the airline industry. There's a huge shortage of pilots, and it's because the baby boomers are retiring, the baby boomer pilots. The feds raised the minimum requirements to become an airline pilot, commercial airline pilot, and so we have fewer people taking more time to get to this to this profession, and I think that's a contributing factor.
Well, you haven't had a major war.
Yeah.
With a lot of flying for the hours to,
right.
to backfill like Vietnam.
Well, and we use a lot of drones now. So, you know, these
not on the commercial flights.
No. But what I'm saying is in the military, you know, a lot of what we're doing now is flying planes in a theater of conflict, and the pilot may be sitting in a room in outside Las Vegas, which is, you know.
Oh, you've seen that presentation too.
Yeah. So, you know, not necessarily a transferable skill, I don't think.
Who knows? You know, if cars are driving without drivers, you know, maybe pilots can.
I drove in this morning. There's a number of cars out there without drivers right now.
It's KINS, News and Information Time, 8:42.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
Theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Foster. So, Greg, you got your fancy lunch meeting today with the League of Women Voters. Fancy just because he's not wearing jeans today.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that may have been the first thing I said when you came in.
I know. Thank you.
What's
thank
going you for, on?
Yeah, exactly.
So what is the event this afternoon, or at noontime?
Well, the League of Women Voters holds us annual State of the Community luncheon, and it's a great organization. You know, they put on all the debates and do a lot of voter education and that sort of thing. So they do an annual State of the Luncheon, and they honor folks, and it's a great community get together. It's always very well attended, and we've been going for forever from REDEC to go and listen to what's going on, and usually the chair of the Board of Supervisors would be giving the state, so that would be Mr. Lovelace this year, And then they honor, there's a couple community members, and I can't quite remember off the top of my head who they are that they honor with their awards for community service. And but it's a great organization. I've always thought they've done a good job. And for years, Maggie Flynn, I think Maggie's still very much involved in that. She was the face up there. You know, she was president of the league for some years, and other folks. So
probably still has the badge.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it's a great organization. I like to support them.
Do we get enough economic information about the area? I'm not being facetious about that. We're tied in with the Curry County and Jackson County, mm-hmm. and there, a couple times a month, there's always a shootout about this or a shootout about that. Economic stuff.
Right.
Housing
right.
sales, economic right. studies, da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, it may be available around here, but I've never seen one.
You know, there's the Humboldt County, the Humboldt County Economic Index that the university puts out each month,
right?
And that gives some information. And then the Employment Development Department puts out a monthly jobs report. And
this is like housing sales, retail sales,
right.
all that kind of, but on a monthly. And I know Oregon is different than California.
Right, right.
Just didn't know if that information was
available. Humboldt State does do retail and housing based on, I think they work with the Humboldt Association of Realtors to get some of that data on that.
So the clearinghouse.
Yeah, it's interesting. I had a discussion with a realtor yesterday, and I said, you know, how's the market? And she said, it's tight. It's a war. You know, it's the housing sales are, the inventory is very low, and sales are very brisk. And I said, well, maybe that'll inspire a little hammer swinging and getting some new inventory built. So and rates are still pretty good. So
yeah, we can get the permitting process.
Well,
I know it's always the same.
There are things I can control and things I can't.
Yeah. Oh, you're controlling them. Okay.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Right. That's the ones I can't control. Oh, what I can control is I have my shoes on the
yeah,
right feet.
Okay. Make sure before the bribes start coming into
yeah,
you.
That, yeah. No, I am not part of that process.
Overall, you think it's going to be a positive year? You think it's going to be a so-so year? Do you think we still have to wait and let things play out?
We have a lot of good stuff happening. I mean, we've seen some businesses like Wing and others getting some nice big contracts. There's a Humboldt-made buyer's tour going on right now, and they have the largest number of buyers they've ever had come up to tour our Humboldt-made businesses. So I'm always an optimist. I wouldn't be doing this job if I wasn't optimistic.
And with that, we're out. See you on Monday.